from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think there's anything wrong with having that, too. That I don't want to preclude teams from being able to get stuff done and have to play the math game all the time. I like the players to get largely what they're worth, especially a quarterback.
And the guaranteed money is getting so much better for NFL players.
And then to still be able to put parts together to not have to say, well, I need to go on the cheap here in order to do this when we know you all have money. Like,
if you keep it the way it is, you're going to have to start paying your GMs big time money because they're the ones supplying you those fifth, sixth, seventh round picks that make you win.
Yeah.
You can pay your quarterback, but again, you got to win. The Chiefs have proven to do that. Which is the toughest thing to do in football.
What was it? The Chiefs were the first team to have a player over 10%.
Mahomes.
Yeah, over 10% of their salary cap dedicated to the quarterback. And you know, that's like they're the only ones to have done it. So no one else has been able to successfully do it.
Mahomes had the highest cap hit ever after Philadelphia for a winning quarterback in the Super Bowl with his team's salary cap. And this year was the most capped money ever for anybody. But against the Eagles, he was the most capped most against the cap. It was like 18% or something like that when they beat the Eagles.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to continue to defy odds because of, well, Mahomes. You know, I mean, those always.
Everybody wants their Mahomes. This is why the money's going up.
But
everybody wants their Mahomes.
But I do laugh. They're like, who's going to be the first $60 million guy? Like, these are all dumb names. Like,
Dak, Trevor Lawrence, all these guys need to send Mahomes a card.
Mahomes should be the answer. But I'm, you know, I get it. He's willing to play the game, which is smart on his part. But a lot to ask of people. Make technically not what you're worth in order to win. Who really wants to do that?
Yep.
Nobody.
Right? I don't think so.
Nobody really wants to do that. All right. I saw this. We saw this going around X, and we can apply it to really anything. But I love the threads when they ask a question like, name a random Timberwolf. You know, like, I'll fall for those every time. Like, name a random Pittsburgh Penguin, whatever. But there was one going around about name a forgotten player. I think this one happened to be like, it was like Falcon or something. Something weird. I was like, name a random forgotten player. And it got me thinking about the Chiefs. Who is a player you think you're probably going to forget? And then maybe who is a player you want to forget, which could be two different answers. I was thinking the biggest forgotten Chief, maybe one day you'll make the case for Trent Green, who kind of set the table, I feel like, for kind of the moving to quarterbacks. We had, you know, Trent and Alex and then to Mahomes. I don't think we'll ever forget Alex because he's really definitively set up Mahomes. But how good Trent Green was will probably be forgotten if it hasn't been already. But I think it's going to be, for me, Tom Bahali. He's currently second on the all-time sack list for the Chiefs behind Derek Thomas. He's Derek Thomas' number is way out there too. Like,
oh, it's
way out there, right? So he's second on the sack list. Chris Jones will pass him before he retires. Give him three more seasons. I think he'll be passing. And then he'll still be in front of Neil Smith, who I think will be a more popular Chief. I mean, Neil Smith was a lot of people's youth, right? Neil's very popular.
Except when he went to the Broncos.
Yeah, but that's part of the lore of it. That's part of the remembering of it, right? I don't think he'll ever be more popular than Neil Smith. Plus, we'll forget how good he was, and he was never on a winner. So I think Tamba Hali would be my.
It's a good one.
Would be my most likely to be forgotten. Not a great list to be on, but it's like it's like he's graduating from high school and he's got that in the yearbook. Most likely to be forgotten, Tamba Hali. But I think we'll have to go. Remember Tamba Hali? Oh, yeah, he was really good, and he was.
Yeah, 89.5 sacks, second all-time, behind, as you mentioned, DT, 126.5 sacks.
It's a big number.
It's a big number.
Big
gap.
I mean, we think Chris Jones has done all right, right? He's done. Yeah. He's done all right.
Great.
He's done all right.
He's got three more to pass Justin Houston.
And he's never catching. He's never catching.
He's over 50 behind.
Do you know who's right behind Chris Jones? Eric Hicks. Remember Eric Hicks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be a forgotten guy too. He's a really good guy too. Yeah. I will always remember him, you know, screaming at everybody in the locker room in Minnesota. But also, yeah, he was an unheralded guy. So who would be on you guys' list? Forgotten Chief, Bink. Who do you think's a candidate for that?
Forgotten Chiefs. I'm gonna go in the '80s, the mid '80s, man. At the Royals winning 85, 86, 87. Herman Hurd. You remember Herman Hurd?
No.
He was their starting running back, Herman Hurd. He was in a backfield with Larry Moriarty.
Wow.
Just bam.
That's when you're going to games for $5.
Absolutely.
Bucks,
Larry Moriarty and Herman Hurd, Carlos Carson, Stephon Page, those Chiefs. But Herman Hurd definitely
your favorite forgotten Chief.
And Larry Moriarty.
I would say he's on a forgotten Chief list.
Herman Hurd played for a long time in Kansas City. He was 84 through 89. Herman Hurd.
Herman Hurd.
Herman Hurd.
Was not expecting that answer. Mac?
Yeah, I'd go Dexter McCluster. It's a forgotten Chief for me. He was on some really dismal teams.
Oh, with those shoes. He blew out those shoes, and everybody's talking about, you know, he blew out those shoes, and it was a big deal.
Huge deal. He's one of the few bright spots to watch there for a few years, just in the return game, had some fun Swiss Army knife moments on the offensive end. It just kind of felt like, oh, this guy can maybe be a bright spot for us. Another one for me, forgotten Chief, Colquitt. Punters don't get a lot of love. That guy was great for years.
I will never forget Colquitt because he was I always claimed he was the greatest at his job.
Love that.
He was a goated at his job. Yeah. His job.
Well, it's a Tennessee guy too, so it's
I never caught that.
He got me.
Yeah, you went with your guy.
You know, Eric Perry here.
Dustin Colquitt is one of the more amazing practice players I've ever seen. When I would go to many a practice and just watch him go out there and just bang like five boomers and call it a day. You know, just like
he actually bought my uncle's lake.
All right, what do you want? Okay, 65 yarder. Okay, check. All right, dump one inside the five. Check.
Gotcha.
All right, backspin at the inside the 10. Check. All right, my day's done. See you later, guys. I'm out.
Yeah, my aunt and uncle called me and said, "Guess who just bought our house? Lake house. Dustin Colquitt."
Was
oh, really? Yeah, Dustin Colquitt. Yeah, it's a Colquitt moment.
Do you still have a pass? Can you go hang at the boat?
Hang at Dustin Colquitt's.
Colquitt's.
No. No, I don't do
all right. And McCluster, going to McCluster, Mac, he was one to me that just pissed me off. I felt like he never got to the chains.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was like, if you had a third and six, he'd get you five.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then he was the first of the, man, if you could just get this guy into space.
Yeah, that's so true.
That was like, get this guy into space and you just wait to see what he do. And I was in the camp then of saying, it's the NFL. There is no space.
You're correct.
Well, Tyreek Hill defied that, but he's one of the few that...
He's an anomaly.
I feel like he was one of the few that defied the just get him into space and look what happened, because the space just ain't there. Like, don't give me rugby guys going to be great in space. There ain't the space wasn't rugby.
No space.
Okay?
How about Jackie Battle or Niall Davis? Backfield.
Jackie Battle's a nice...
Harvey Williams.
Forgotten Chief. I like that. I always remember Harvey Williams.
Derek Blaylock.
Long neck. And then maybe a chief you'd like to forget.
Who?
That list could be long.
No.
Mine's a pseudo current one. It's just gone. Thanks for your service. But MVS. Never.
Gosh.
Never caught on to that one. MVS was the one for me. So
Cardio King.
I'm glad he. Yeah, he ran a lot of deep routes that he was signaled back for. I just felt like that there was a certain like my stuff don't stink. I got this about him when he hadn't accomplished a lot. I just didn't like the vibe he gave off. That makes any sense.
Well, no, I get it. I mean, it's like I'd have a lot of confidence, too, if the only quarterbacks I'd play with were Rodgers and Mahomes. I think I was great.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Guess who wanted me?
Yeah.
Rodgers and Mahomes.
So, yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah. Forget Bugs. Is he gone yet for the 816? Yeah, he's gone. Dan Kilgore is the chief I will always remember. Good job by you. Easy to forget. Easy to forget one Dan Kilgore. We'll get to some of your names coming up. And also, Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio drops by. We'll discuss quarterbacks. We'll discuss last night's made-for-TV event, apparently, and much more with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio next. Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. It's a Thursday. It is 7:15. That means we check in with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. Of course, you can hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. Brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Ben, how many of those NBA draft picks did you know of last night?
Yeah, so I knew by the way, it's good to be on with you, Josh. I knew Zach Edey, because I'm a John R. Wooden Award voter, and there were a bunch of guys who are Parisian. I had no idea, zero idea who they are. I was on YouTube watching video clips trying to figure out. I did a monologue on the NBA draft overnight. I was like, I don't know who that guy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never heard of that guy. And I'm like, whoa. And it was not a great experience watching the NBA draft last night. You don't know who the players are. There wasn't a lot of juice. You know it's a bad sign, Josh, when Bronny James, who averaged less than 5 points a game, is the most talked about player and wasn't even drafted, wasn't even picked in the first round of the draft.
I'm curious if this is going to have a positive maybe trickle down somehow on college basketball, that you're seeing so the influx of international players more so than we've ever seen before. We've always had it, but it feels like we've had it now for a couple of drafts where you might know the college guys, but they're all, you know, international players or players even that were in the G League. Does this eventually maybe help college basketball get some growth? We force them to get better to be available for the NBA, and maybe kids even stay longer because they might not get paid at the next level.
Yeah, it just seems like college basketball is out on a pontoon boat, just floating aimlessly out at sea right now. And it reminds me of a conversation that Phil Jackson had several years back when he was running the Knicks. And Phil could not stand the AAU basketball. This is before they had the pay-to-play, like the obvious pay-to-play with the NIL stuff and all that. And when he was running the Knicks, he drafted, I think it was the first Parisian player, the first French player drafted in the lottery, I believe, at that time, and that was Frank Nikita, who was terrible. But Phil drafted him because he was so down on college basketball players, and that was before everything that's transpired the last couple of years. But you know, it's a product, I guess, of being old, Josh, but when I was a kid, the NBA draft was a showcase of the greatness, the essence of college basketball, and you were like, this is amazing. Like, all these guys were college stars, whether it was the Big 12, the Big East, or the Pac-10 back then, and now it's like, well, you're like, you need to get a globe out, which is fine. I'm not against that, but this should be the college basketball, you know, their Goldilocks zone, and it's obviously fallen way, way behind, and who's going to step up and fix it? I don't know who. There's only a few big-name coaches left in college basketball.
Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio, joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. You mentioned Bronny James. What did you make of the strategy? Barely worked out for anybody. You mentioned barely had any college numbers. I guess in a weird way, you can kind of dictate now maybe where he goes, assuming he gets drafted in the second round.
Yeah, so I imagine right when the first round of the draft ended, and thank goodness, I'm sure you agree with me, Josh, that the NBA really needed to drag this draft out for 2 days.
Right.
The one thing we needed was a 2-day NBA draft, and we got it. Our Christmas dreams have come true here. But no, I imagine right after the first round ended, LeBron got on the phone, started sending text messages out to random people, like, hey, you better not embarrass me. You better not embarrass me. You got to draft my kid. And then the draft is even this afternoon. It's not even at night. So the NBA knows this is not a good product. They're putting it on in the afternoon, which is normally, if you have a TV show, not when you want to be on. You want to be on in prime time and all that. But, yeah, I've always despised guys, Josh, that try to finagle the draft and jerry-rig it like it's a presidential election or something like that. I hate it. Like, you should be honored where you go and be happy, you know, be drafted anywhere. And it's not like it's that different between cities. But, yeah, that's the ultimate, as my grandfather would say, chutzpah by Bronny James. The spawn of Bron, as we call him, Scrawny Bronny. Good luck. He averaged less than 5 points a game in college.
LeBron's new coach, J.J. Redick, introduced this week, and he doesn't care to prove the critics wrong, except for it sounds like he really cares to prove the critics wrong.
Yeah, this is one of the blessings we have, because J.J. Redick is a guy who's easy to despise. He's just oozes J.J. Redick, this conceited smugness. He's pretentious. He's all those big words, persnickety. Trying to think of some other big words I can use. But he got up there, as you referenced, Josh, when you say something doesn't bother you, normally it means it does bother you. And it was just, the whole thing was embarrassing. The fact they hired him is embarrassing. Then he had the dog and pony show. The problem I have with Redick, and I just have always hated people, I'm programmed to despise people that talk down to people. Like, he's one of these guys, he's the smartest guy in the room, he's overbearing, I just despise people like that, talking down to other people, and that's J.J. Redick in a nutshell, and now he's the Lakers' problem. The good news is, it's a no-win situation. The fan base for the Lakers is irrational. LeBron's going to be 40 years old, and Anthony Davis is one fly or possibly mosquito bite away. If a fly lands on his forehead or a mosquito bites him, that's it for him. He'll be on the injured list. So he's not going to win, but it's just the whole thing. It just reeks. And he cut in line. He cut ahead a bunch of other people that have been paying their dues. And it's just the whole thing left a bad taste in my mouth.
Except for great drama. It's going to be fantastic. All right, to the NFL, do you believe the Dolphins will actually hold the line on not paying Tua?
No. Now, should they not pay Tua? Yes.
Yes.
They should not pay. But you and I both know, Josh, you've been around a long time. I've been around a long time. In recent years, teams cave in. They chicken out. They're like, oh, we got to pay this guy. We can't succeed without him. They wave the white flag. They say, that's it. It's over. So just like in Dallas, I don't believe that Dak Prescott's not going to get paid, even though he shouldn't get paid. The same thing goes with Tua in Miami, and that they're so paranoid about having a meltdown because they don't have the replacement for a guy like Tua, that would be such a calamity for the franchise that they end up paying Tua money that he has not earned. And that's the thing. You got to earn the money. He hasn't earned the money. You saw it in person. You were there when everyone was freezing in that playoff game at Arrowhead, and he went out there and he was piloting the vomit comet for the Dolphins offense. So, good luck.
Only in sports you say, I know they don't earn it, but I know they're going to get it. If only that happened in real life, right? I'm going to have a fill-in-the-blank question for you. Brandon Ayuk will be with the blank on opening day.
Brandon Ayuk will be with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow. He's going to the Yinzers with Mike Tomlin. Why? Why not? It makes sense to me. And they're going back and forth. It's the normal saber rattling that goes on when a player's unhappy with his contract. But if you look at the math, the Niners could pay him a new contract. They don't want to give him a new contract. So if they don't want to pay him and he's not happy there, then he's going to end up going somewhere else. And I think the Steelers, if you look at their depth chart, they desperately need some help at wide receiver. He likes Mike Tomlin. They've got money to spend. I think that would be a no-brainer. They don't have a quarterback. That's a slight problem. But as long as you get paid, I guess it doesn't really matter if you got the money, whether you have a quarterback or not. And someone's going to have to get the targets and all that. The other issue, though, for the Niners, Josh, is that Deebo Samuel likely heading into his final year also. So if he's in his last year and they get rid of him, and then if they trade Ayuk, that's a big mess. That's a spicy meatball right there for the 49ers. They're not going to have anybody left at the end of the year.
And then they'll pay their quarterback.
Yeah, then they'll pay him, and then it'll mess things up for everyone else, and the world will keep spinning round and round and round.
Only in sports. Ben, get your afternoon nap in so you can rest up for the night show tonight, or actually so you can get up early to watch the second round of the afternoon NBA draft.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm gonna wake up. I'm gonna turn the TV on and then go right back to sleep. Is what I'm gonna do.
You're gonna turn it on, forget that the second round of the NBA draft is on, and then watch something else.
Yeah, I'll be counting sheep by about that point. Absolutely.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Josh.
Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio, of course, overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. It's brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. We will discuss a little bit more quarterbacks getting paid coming up in a few minutes. Also, your chance to win a $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu. It's a Thursday. That's how it works. Be listening for that mooing sounder in our next segment for your chance to win. 913-586-7610 on the telephone line. That's coming up. But how many guys are actually worth it? We'll discuss next. Back in on a Thursday, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. I'll be listing sometime during this segment for the mooing cow, and that is your cue to call in to 913-586-7610. Be caller 15. The next time you hear it, you're going to win a $50 gift card to Booth Creek Wagyu, 134th and Metcalf. And be listening for the mooing cow coming up in, a matter of moments. All right, I was talking a little bit with Ben, Jay, about the quarterback pay. And I don't know if the Dolphins will hold the line. But according to ESPN's Jeff Darlington, the Dolphins are not offering him a deal in the realm of Trevor Lawrence or Jared Goff's agreement. So that they're looking at paying him, but not paying him, Not I'm the next guy up. I'm going to get more. Do you think that that will come to fruition, or will they will they be a team that says we're going to pay you, but maybe not at the top?
I think that the way things are going, and when he compares numbers with Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff, even though Jared Goff did go to the NFC title game, he's been to a Super Bowl, been different, but who cares anymore, right? Kirk Cousins gets that money, one playoff win in his back pocket. It's the crazy spirit. Who are you going to get to be their quarterback? I'm not the biggest Tua guy in the world, but what are you going to do there? You had Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill out there, wide receivers. Who's going to get them the ball?
Unless you're going to commit to drafting a guy next year or something, but that's a risky proposition.
And he can't bank on his accuracy. He had a high accuracy number, so he can bank on that. But these quarterback contracts are getting out of control. But when guys like Trevor Lawrence are getting that money, and you're Tua, you're sitting there saying, well, is he deserved to be in the Trevor Lawrence category? Yeah. Is he in Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow category? Hell no. But are you in that middle tier? Yeah. Miss what the NFL is now with quarterbacks. It is the position that I think is – the most overvalued in sports with everybody chasing. And we can say what people say what they want about Mahomes. But Mahomes, and especially his contract when it first came out, like guys like, what's Mahomes doing just taking this amount of money? Well, it escalates and they can play with it and massage it. But Mahomes is kind of like the Royals when they set the relievers getting the cash, when it was so important to have the HDH of the world, because it did transcend what other teams are doing. I even ask other teams' relievers back in the day, hey, what do you think about the Royals? And he goes, yeah, the Royals set us all up for doing. The relievers would say that, yeah, the Royals set us all up for the money we're getting. But they should thank Mahomes for, you know, everybody's chasing him and everybody wants that guy. It's why it's the most inexact science, too. The amount of money teams spend on trying to find that quarterback, and then a guy like Brock Purdy slips the last pick in the draft and goes to the Super Bowl. Like, that doesn't happen. That's an asterisk. But the amount of teams that will just jettison a quarterback right away if he's not the guy, which I will give him credit, they will back away from quarterback. Like Justin Fields, he's not our guy, we'll move on. And I love that attitude.
Which I advocated for years and years and years. Teams didn't do enough of that.
You don't like him?
Go.
Send him on. Yeah. Zach Wilson, send him. That's our franchise guy. Or he's gone.
Gone, yeah.
And he's in Denver. This is the way things should be, but if you're just serviceable and average, you're going to get paid. You're below average, you're going to get shipped to another team and end up being a punt returner.
The average is the one that's, I think, the most troubling, right? Like, if you think you've got a guy, but he's not the guy, but he's a guy, and we could do worse, but we don't know if we could do better. Those are the ones that are difficult. And I think Tua falls in that category for me that, be careful what you wish for. If you go to the next guy, he may be hot garbage. This guy can play a little bit, but do I think he's going to be the over-the-top guy? No. These are the ones that get paid that I'd feel really nervous about if I'm a team.
And Tua's
a
problem,
too. I don't know if
he's the guy. He's going to get you 8, 9, 10 wins. I mean, he's going to get you out of the top 10 draft is what he's going to do. And you got to get down low to get that quarterback. Like, he's going
– He can't play bad enough to get you a good draft pick.
He's going to win enough games not get you a top 10 quarterback. Yeah, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a catch-22 for teams.
So how many quarterbacks are truly worth paying?
Right now in the NFL?
I mean, most of them have deals now and everything. And
I'd say about 10.
I'm not even putting a number on, like, a number on it.
Well, but I think you have to ask yourself this,
too. The eye test of who deserves making more. Because I would argue Goff, I think the last couple of years have proven he did deserve getting a new contract. I didn't mind Jared Goff's contract. Like, he's taking the Lions.
Well, he's been to the Super Bowl twice.
Taking the Lions to places the Lions haven't gone. I feel like that was cool. Obviously Mahomes and Allen and Burrow.
Lamar.
Herbert. Yes.
Put him there.
We were discussing, I don't remember the context yesterday. We were discussing kind of the fear factor a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, I mean, come on. We're all telling ourselves Herbert's not that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But even guys like Baker Mayfield, who's been sent everywhere, is going to cash in.
Yeah, true. Is there a fear factor with Herbert? Like, oh, but if they figure it out,
back
he's
head.
Super talented.
Yep.
Yes, there is.
Well, Jordan loves the new one, people. And C.J. Stroud. Those are the
love Stroud
up and coming.
But that's awful early, though. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be thinking those things right now about any of those. So I would say Herbert's a yes for me. Purdy's an interesting one because, yes, Purdy should get paid. He should be making $1 million. But because he's coming up, is he going to make 55 or 6. I'm like, I don't know if he's worth that. That's a tough spot to be in, too, because, yeah, I think he can play, and he definitely deserves more than he's getting paid, but you're going to put yourself in a spot. You've been living the high life, man. You haven't had to pay him, and you've been paying people around him.
Well, you got Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. You got George Kittle at tight end. You got Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. He's got a ton of weapons around him to make him look better.
He does.
That'd be my argument for Tua as
well. Which is why I would pay him something, not break the bank for him, but it's going to be interesting to see that dynamic, because how far are you willing to go for Purdy?
I mean, Stafford on that fringe because he's won a Super Bowl. But my question to you is, out of these names, the quarterbacks, Mahomes not going to win it every year. Out of these quarterbacks, who do you say, okay, this is the next quarterback to win a Super Bowl? Because Mahomes not going to win them all. And do you think it's Josh Allen? That's who's working.
I'm going to play Bob for a second since Bob's gone. Well, who's going to beat him? Why aren't they? Well, can't they just win them all big?
But who is going to be that quarterback to win next?
Pseudo Jim Rome voice too, but whatever. Who's the next?
Like, who is the next quarterback in the NFL if you had to bank on it?
I would say Burrow.
Okay.
From a skill perspective, it's Burrow or Allen, but I'm going out of the AFC because all of the best quarterbacks are the AFC. So I'm going to go to the NFC and I'm going to go Love.
Jordan Love.
But he'd have to beat. See, I'm more in the camp of like, you have to beat Mahomes, right?
So yeah,
I would
come
out of the AFC, but I could see.
Well, I'm shocked you're not going Russell Wilson.
I could see. Okay, a scenario. I know I'm a big
shocked you're not going
Russell. I'm a big Russell guy.
He's,
now,
he's out there throwing the DK Metcalf, you know, by the way. These forces, you know, reunited practice. Yeah. Yeah.
Future play-by-play Steelers guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I had somebody asked me that yesterday. Hey, congratulations, I heard you're in Pittsburgh. I'm like, I am not going to Pittsburgh. I did not get that. Bob's done this to me. I would say, Burrow, I could see a scenario. Here's my scenario. That the Bills get by, but then they bill it in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that'd be the most Bills
thing ever.
Oh.
Right?
Wide right.
Right? They finally get theirs on the Chiefs, and they go, ha, see that? And then they get there, and then they lose in the Super Bowl to Jordan Love or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying this year, for instance, because I think Chiefs are winning it again. But
me too.
I mean, that scenario's not out of the question, right? It's not a guarantee that whoever the AFC quarterback is that cracks Mahomes wins it. We saw that already with Burrow. Like,
yep.
So yep. You could maybe try to take a flyer on the, that's an interesting one. Cause you want to say like AFC quarterback or NFC field, like a specific, like Burrow or NFC field.
Exactly. It's Tiger Woods versus, question. Tiger Woods of the field.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cause I would say there's a chance the NFC team, whoever it is, gets there, wins it. But I don't know who the best NFC team is.
Maybe Matt Stafford, the way the Rams have gotten better, better.
I'm bullish on the Rams. Yeah, I mean, Stafford gets there again. Yeah,
maybe Stafford gets it again.
Burrow again. You know what I mean? Weird things can happen. So, I would still. If I had to put my money down, it'd be Burrow. Though I don't think that I have another answer for that. I would say Burrow cracks through because I think Cincinnati's the biggest threat.
Depends on his injury and how he comes
NFC
back from
team,
it.
I would have to take the field. San Francisco got back there again, and it wasn't against the Chiefs. Maybe they have a better puncher's chance. I still think that. I mean,
but eventually they're going to pay him. And
Hurts was doggone close. I mean, that Eagles team was good, man.
That's so good.
That the Chiefs took down. I think that one, I will still go back and go, man, they beat that. Thank goodness they beat that Eagles team. That Eagles team is good. So it could be one of those. It is an interesting question because there's definitely not a favorite, certainly out of the NFC and the AFC. I still think the list is relatively short. I think it's Burrow and maybe Allen. I don't think I see Baltimore getting there yet. You know, they continue to kind of fall. So it's the two quarterbacks.
And then it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, if he stays healthy, into the equation for quarterbacks that have actually won one. What can he do this year? I mean, that's a big question mark, too.
Stuff gets weird. Yeah, stuff gets weird, and the Jets are in the mix. You probably wouldn't bet against Aaron Rodgers if they were in the Super Bowl. You know
I do
I mean?
Like exactly. I do like C.J. Stroud a lot. I'm one of these people buying.
Yes, Houston. I'm all in.
I'm making them wait.
DeMeco Ryans, it's a hell of a coach,
man. I'm going to stay in denial on that one. I'm going to make them. I'm going to make them earn it. What would you do with all the hype?
Well, there's so many teams we see build themselves up, then fall down. We've seen that with the Bengals. Remember the Jaguars when they make the AFC title game with Blake Bortles? Then they fell. We've seen so many teams like get to that point and rise, and then Trevor Lawrence wins a playoff game against Justin Herbert, then doesn't even make the playoffs last year. Is Houston going to be falling in that same category, a team that rose and Then they come back to Earth.
Houston doesn't even believe. I mean, the league doesn't even believe in Houston, guys. I mean, that's a noon game. I mean, come on.
Which is,
oh my gosh, stop this.
The NFL script.
Stop this.
Would say they don't even buy that. They're playing the Chiefs at noon.
That's just to get Taylor in.
It's on a Saturday, though.
There you go. There's the rub.
That's probably the reason why. So the baseball coach we bagged on yesterday gave an attempt at an apology. And it was a little later than I intended, but the sounder did play, and we did get a winner.
We did. Congratulations to Ben Gasper.
All right, Ben. Ben wins $50 to Booth Creek Wagyu. So we'll do it again next Thursday, memory permitting.
Yes.
As always.
Last week was like Wagyu Day.
Well, I guess we won't do it next Thursday. We'll do it on Wednesday. We'll do it on Wednesday next week, so we're off Thursday. That's the 4th, right? Next week's the 4th?
Yes, right? That's correct.
I'm looking at my
yes.
calendar correct.
We'll do it Wednesday.
Don't even bring that up.
We'll do it Wednesday. Yeah, no. That hot button issue that is July 4th, Binkley still.
Fireworks, Joey Chestnut, America.
Joey Chestnut.
It's America, man.
He's not doing the hot dog. I aren't you surprised that they haven't worked it out?
Yeah, because he's the draw. I mean, he's the reason.
I thought they would work it out after the initial, you know, freak out. That would bring them back both to the table.
Now Netflix.
Do you think the Netflix thing ruined it?
Yeah, Kobayashi versus.
But that could be a separate. I mean, that doesn't have to. That's just another event.
Kobayashi, you know, comes out of retirement. These two squared off in like 07, 08. It was a great hot dog. And then Joey finally beat him in the overtime.
But it wouldn't preclude him from doing both.
No, he could do both.
You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, he should. I mean, Nathan should have thrown the bank.
It's not till later, right? It's like a month, a couple months.
He fills Coney Island. People go to watch Joey.
I know.
And you know what? Everybody talked about. I remember going to the Rolls Clubhouse that day, and they were all watching. You know, like Joey Chestnut, and everybody loved him.
You're just a big Joey guy.
He went on with me every year, Mac. He would come on every year, except the one year that he lost. Because he did lose because he was going through a bad breakup or something with another competitive eater. He was dating a competitive eater, and they were going through a breakup, and he lost. But they're so superstitious. And I reminded him, I said, "Ian, come on, you lost." That's what broke up his streak.
Mm.
Now he's got a new one going.
The relationship or not coming on with you?
Both of us. Rough time.
Okay. All right.
I do remember when once asking him, though. I said, because he likes baseball. He loves baseball. He's from Oakland. So he would go to the A's games. But he likes George Brett and stuff. He likes the Royals. I said, can you just go to a game and have a hot dog?
Without sitting down and eat
like 50?
It's like asking a NASCAR driver if they can drive if they can drive slowly on the interstate. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I understand.
Can you go enjoy a dog?
There's time. We're a week out. They could still resolve this thing.
I hope so.
We'll see.
It's the most pressing sports issue.
Yes, we'll do the Booth Creek giveaway next Wednesday. Write that down, Mac. Wednesday. You need to help with the memory here. All right. So yesterday we were discussing this baseball coach from Texas A&M, who now is the baseball coach at Texas.
Our former boss's friend,
Jim Schlossnagel, which is very hard to say 10 times fast. Yes, friend of a friend of a show.
Yeah. friend of a
former boss of the show, but was going from Texas A&M as the baseball coach there, lambasted this poor reporter when he asked the question about Texas and was a jerk and ended the press conference and got up and left. And then less than 24 hours later, in fact, took the job at Texas. So he's introduced at said Texas yesterday, and I will use the air quotes a little bit. He apologized. He apologized for jumping the reporter on Monday.
When the game ended, I want to publicly apologize to Richard Zane from TexAgs. He's a young reporter. He asked the question. That was an obvious question. I wish I could have answered that better. But in the moment, all... 30 minutes after the last pitch, all I could think about was our players.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wasn't in the mood to talk about myself or the future. So I apologize for that to Richard.
Okay. Did you feel like it was a little bit backhanded that he said young?
Yes.
And obvious. This was a young reporter.
Texas Eggs.
Who asked an obvious question. Like, I felt that was like condescending. Maybe I'm reading a little too much into it, but I did feel like that was a complete backhanded compliment. Well, the guy was young and he asked an obvious question, but I should have answered it.
Yeah, I should have done
that. Not that it was the correct question in the correct moment and I handled it wrong, but there was like just the couple of those words that he chose there. I was like, this isn't a full scale apology, is it? Did you guys feel that?
I felt it was forced. The Texas PR people probably got with him. Sorry, Jim, we got to figure this out. You got to apologize. Then he went on and on. I mean, this one, he had like a 7-minute apology. It was on and on, and he then turns it to how building the program. You know how you quickly change the direction of the interview and you go to building the program and stuff. He quickly changed it from, well, I got to build this program up like Texas A&M. You just change the direction of the whole, you know, you apologize real quick, then you move on.
Yeah, you start
talking about how good you are.
Yeah. So reaction's been big down in Texas, obviously, to this story, where they did find out that while football's big, baseball's not bad either. This is kind of, and obviously you got A&M and Texas, two bitter rivals that have gone at it. You, Bigley, found a commentary done by a TV reporter by the name of Mike Leslie down in
Dallas.
And you really liked his take on this entire situation.
I'm Mike Leslie, and this is my extra point. It has been quite a run for Jim Schlossnagle over the last several years, from his perch as a Fort Worth icon leading the TCU program to year after year of success, to his 3-year stint in College Station turning around the Aggies program and nearly winning a national title, and now off he goes to Texas, rejoining his former AD at TCU, now Texas Athletic Director Chris Del Conte. And listen, before you think the point of this is to blow up Schlossnagle, it's not. I like Jim. I enjoyed our interactions when he was at TCU, and I think he's a hell of a baseball coach.
But,
and it's not wrong for anyone to pursue career advancement, which is what he's done over the last 5 years, going from TCU to A&M to Texas. Say what you will, but there's a pecking order in this state, and he's climbing it. So no, taking the job is not at issue here. But the way he handled his press conference on Monday night, he deserves the criticism he's gotten for it. In response to what I thought was truly a respectful and gentle way to ask a tough but necessary question, Schlossnagle ripped into TexAg's reporter Richard Zane, calling him selfish for asking the question, then pontificating for 35 seconds about how he'd never leave A&M. And the next day he left A&M. I have no clue how the question was selfish, and it turned out to be precisely the question that needed to be asked in that moment. And this all comes 3 years after Schlossnagle stated he had no interest in the A&M job a month before he took the A&M job. Again, there's nothing wrong with advancing your career. But Jim, if you ever get courted for another job while you're at Texas, don't say you're not going to take the job. Unless you're not going to take the job.
Yeah, that's good. Just good advice.
Those great commentaries. He used to have these on all the sports stations. At the end. I love this from Leslie. I thought it was great.
He pointed out twice that it's not wrong to take another job. So Mike Leslie is going to SportsCenter like this afternoon. Right?
Probably, yeah. Because now John Anderson's leaving SportsCenter and going to the University of Missouri.
Like, and with this, I announce that I am moving on. So yeah. The quotes from the AD, too, were just precious. So the AD who back or NFC Field, like a specific like Burrow or NFC Field.
Exactly. Tiger Woods question. Tiger Woods of the field.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because I would say there's a chance the NFC team, whoever it is, gets there, wins it. But I don't know who the best NFC team is.
Maybe Matt Stafford, the way the Rams have gotten better. Much better.
I'm bullish on the Rams. Yeah. I mean, Stafford gets there again. Yeah.
Maybe Stafford gets it again.
Burrow again. You know what I mean? Weird things can happen. So. If I had to put my money down, it'd be Burrow, though. I don't think that I have another answer for that. I would say Burrow cracks through because I think Cincinnati's the biggest threat.
Depends on his injury and how he comes
NFC
back from
team, it. I would have to take the field. San Francisco got back there again, and it wasn't against the Chiefs. Maybe they have a better puncher's chance. I still think that. I mean,
but eventually they're going to pay him. And
Hurts
then
was doggone close. I mean, that Eagles team was good, man. That's
so good.
That the Chiefs took down. I think that one. I will still go back and go, man. They beat that. Thank goodness they beat that Eagles team. That Eagles team is good. So it could be one of those. It is an interesting question because I don't. There's definitely not a favorite. Certainly out of the NFC and the AFC. I still think the list is relatively short. I think it's Burrow and maybe Allen. I don't think I see Baltimore getting there yet. You know, they continue to kind of fall. So it's It's the two quarterbacks.
And then it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, if he stays healthy, into the equation for quarterbacks that have actually won one. What can he do this year? I mean, that's a big question mark,
too. Stuff gets weird, and the Jets are in the mix. You wouldn't probably bet you probably wouldn't bet against Aaron Rodgers if they were in the Super Bowl.
I do like C.J. Stroud a lot. I'm one of these people buying.
Yes, Houston. I'm all in.
I'm making them wait.
D'Amico Ryans, it's a hell of a bad coach,
man. Denial on that one. I'm gonna make them earn it. See what you do with all the hype.
Well, there's so many teams we see build themselves up, then fall down. We've seen that with the Bengals. Remember the Jaguars when they make the AFC title game with Blake Bortles? Then they fell. We've seen so many teams like get to that point and rise, and then Trevor Lawrence wins a playoff game against Justin Herbert, then doesn't even make the playoffs last year. Is Houston going to be falling in that same category, a team that rose and then they come back to Earth?
Houston doesn't even believe. I mean, the league doesn't even believe in Houston, guys. I mean, that's a noon game. I mean, come on.
Which is,
oh my gosh, stop this.
The NFL script
stop this
would say they don't even buy that. They're playing the Chiefs at noon.
That's just to get Taylor in.
It's on a Saturday, though.
There's the rub.
That's probably the reason why. So the baseball coach we bagged on yesterday gave an attempt at an apology. And it was a little later than I intended, but the sounder did play, and we did get a winner.
We did. Congratulations to Ben Gasper.
All right, Ben. Ben wins $50 to Booth Creek Wagyu. So we'll do it again next Thursday, memory permitting.
Yes.
As always.
Last week was like Wagyu Day.
Well, I guess we won't do it next Thursday. We'll do it on Wednesday. We'll do it on Wednesday next week, so we're off Thursday. That's the 4th, right? Next week's the 4th?
Yes, right? That's correct.
I'm looking at my calendar correct.
Don't even bring that up.
We'll do it Wednesday. that hot button issue that is July 4th. Binkley still
fireworks. Joey Chestnut, America.
Joey Chestnut.
It's America,
is,
man.
Is not doing the hot dog. I aren't you surprised that they haven't worked it out?
Yeah, because he's the draw. I mean,
I thought they would work it out after the initial, freak out. That would bring them back both to the table.
Now Netflix.
Do you think the Netflix thing ruined it?
Yeah, Kobayashi versus.
But that could be a separate. I mean, that doesn't have to. That's just another event.
Kobayashi comes out of retirement. These two squared off in like 07, 08. It was a great hot dog. And then Joey finally beat him in the overtime.
But it wouldn't preclude him from doing both.
No, he could do both.
You know what I mean?
He should. I mean, Nathan should have thrown the bank.
It's not till later, right? It's like a couple months out.
He fills Coney Island. People go to watch Joey.
I know.
And you know what? Everybody talked about it. I remember going to the Rolls Clubhouse that day, and they were all watching, like Joey Chestnut, and everybody loved him.
You're just a big Joey guy.
He went on with me every year, Mac. He would come on every year, except the one year that he lost. Because he did lose because he was going through a bad breakup or something with another competitive eater. He was dating a competitive eater, and they were going through a breakup, and he lost. But they're so superstitious. And I reminded him, I said, "Ian, come on, you lost." That's what broke up his streak.
Mm.
Now he's got a new one going.
The relationship or not coming on with you?
Both of us. Rough time.
Okay. All right.
I do remember when once asking him, though. I said, because he likes baseball. He loves baseball. He's from Oakland. So he would go to the A's games. But he likes George Brett and stuff. He likes the Royals. I said, can you just go to a game and have a hot dog?
Just want to sit down.
Without sitting down and eat like 50?
It's like asking a NASCAR driver if they can drive if they can drive slowly on the interstate. Yeah, I know. I understand.
Can you go enjoy a dog?
There's time. We're a week out. They could still resolve this thing.
I hope so.
We'll see.
It's the most pressing sports issue.
Yes, we'll do the Booth Creek giveaway next Wednesday. Write that down, Mac. Wednesday. You need to help with the memory here. All right. So yesterday we were discussing this baseball coach from Texas A&M, who now is the baseball coach at Texas.
Our former boss's friend,
Jim Schlossnagel, which is very hard to say 10 times fast. Friend of a friend of a show.
Yeah, friend of a
former boss of the show, but was going from Texas A&M as the baseball coach there, lambasted this poor reporter when he asked the question about Texas and was a jerk and ended the press conference and got up and left. And then less than 24 hours later, in fact, took the job at Texas. So he's introduced at said Texas yesterday, and I will use the air quotes a little bit. He apologized. He apologized for jumping the reporter on Monday.
When the game ended,
I want to publicly apologize to Richard Zane from TxAgs. He's a young reporter. He asked the question. That was an obvious question. I wish I could have answered that better. But in the moment, all 30 minutes after the last pitch, all I could think about was our players. And I really wasn't in the mood to talk about myself or the future. So I apologize for that to Richard.
Okay. Did you feel like it was a little bit backhanded that he said young?
Yes.
And obvious. This was a young reporter.
TxAgs.
Who asked an obvious question. Like, I felt that was like condescending. Maybe I'm reading a little too much into it, but I did feel like that was a complete backhanded compliment. Well, the guy was young and he asked an obvious question, but I should have answered it.
Yeah, I should have done
that. Not that it was the correct question in the correct moment and I handled it wrong, but there was like just the couple of those words that he chose there. I was like, this isn't a full scale apology, is it? Did you guys feel that?
I felt it was forced. The Texas PR people probably got with him. Sorry, Jim. We got to figure this out. You got to apologize. Then he went on and on. I mean, this one, he had like a 7-minute apology. It was on and on. And he then turns it to how building the program. You know how you quickly change the direction of the interview and you go to building the program and stuff. He quickly changed it from, well, I got to build this program up like Texas A&M. You just change the direction of the whole, you know, you apologize real quick, then you move on.
Yeah, you start
talking about how good you are. Yeah.
So reaction's been big down in Texas, obviously, to this story, where they did find out that while football's big, baseball's not bad either. This is kind of, and obviously you got A&M and Texas, two bitter rivals that have gone at it. You, Bigley, found a commentary done by a TV reporter by the name of Mike Leslie down in
Dallas.
And you really liked his take on this entire situation.
I'm Mike Leslie, and this is my extra point. It has been quite a run for Jim Schlossnagle over the last several years, from his perch as a Fort Worth icon leading the TCU program to year after year of success, to his 3-year stint in College Station turning around the Aggies program and nearly winning a national title. And now off he goes to Texas, rejoining his former AD at TCU, now Texas Athletic Director Chris Del Conte. And listen, before you think the point of this is to blow up Schlossnagle, it's not. I like Jim. I enjoyed our interactions when he was at TCU, and I think he's a hell of a baseball coach.
But
and it's not wrong for anyone to pursue career advancement, which is what he's done over the last 5 years, going from TCU to A&M to Texas. Say what you will, but there's a pecking order in this state, and he's climbing it. So no, taking the job is not at issue here. But the way he handled his press conference on Monday night, he deserves the criticism he's gotten for it. In response to what I thought was truly a respectful and gentle way to ask a tough but necessary question, Schlossnagle ripped into TxAgs reporter Richard Zane, calling him selfish for asking the question, then pontificating for 35 seconds about how he'd never leave A&M. And the next day he left A&M. I have no clue how the question was selfish, and it turned out to be precisely the question that needed to be asked in that moment. And this all comes 3 years after Schlossnagle stated he had no interest in the A&M job a month before he took the A&M job. Again, there's nothing wrong with advancing your career. But Jim, if you ever get courted for another job while you're at Texas, don't say you're not going to take the job. Unless you're not going to take the job.
Yeah, that's good. Just good advice.
Those great commentaries. He used to have these on all the sports stations at the end. I love this from Leslie. I thought it was great.
He pointed out twice that it's not wrong to take another job. So Mike Leslie is going to SportsCenter like this afternoon. Right?
Probably, yeah. Because now John Anderson's leaving SportsCenter and going to the University of Missouri.
Like, and with this, I announce that I am moving on. So yeah. The quotes from the AD, too, were just precious. So the AD who hires this guy, they worked together before. They know each other. He was his baseball coach at TCU. This guy also left TCU for Texas, right? As the AD, which the AD world is just amazing.
The pecking order.
How they go and move. Yeah. And I'm sure at the time he justified the job. I'm going to a bigger program and I'm kind of putting
A&M down a little bit.
So if you were to believe the athletic director, Chris Del Conte, he waited. He put all his eggs in the basket, though, of this coach, but he waited, Bink.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact they're friends, Oh, they never discussed this. They never discussed this at time. He literally went to College Station, according to him, when the team arrived, and he hid in a cemetery so that he wouldn't be recognized until he knew that the coach was back in town, and then went and convinced him to take the Texas job.
Could you imagine an AD sitting in a cemetery?
I call BS. Do you think that really happened, that they didn't discuss anything ahead of time as friends and as former colleagues, and he'd worked with him before, that he diligently waited and, in fact, hid out
in a local cemetery? He had to be a private jet.
In a cemetery to make sure that, you know, he followed the correct protocol before making contact. You buy that for 1 second?
Not 1 second. Not 1 second at all. I think the conversations went by phone. It's which players are going to transfer to Texas, because now the whole roster has hit your portal, Colleen. They found it.
I was banking on my relationship with him that we could come to a deal. I was really nervous. To tell you the truth, when I was in the cemetery, then on the way to their house, it was just crazy as it sounds. I played every scenario in my mind. I drove to his house. We had a long discussion. I put him in the car and we drove off. Yeah, never talked about it beforehand. Not one bit. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDF HD2.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.